Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome, welcome, welcome to a special edition. This is not an ordinary edition. This is a special edition of the End Time News Report because it marks Sister Marie's 250th End Time News broadcast, which is a milestone. 5 years of being on the radio contending for the faith. And so today we celebrate this achievement and we thank the Lord again for her, for the Lord sending her our way, for the Lord making her part of his team, and for her remaining faithful to the Lord all these years. It's not easy doing radio. It's not easy preparing the way she does each and every week. When she was doing just raw news, when she was just doing news story after news story, sometimes 20 news stories in a show, that took a lot. It's a lot of research, and so now, 250 programs. When you figure that she's on once a week, every week, or once a week every year, and you times that times five, that's 5 years. And of course, there's been times when she was doing shows twice a week, but she started with me. Even when she didn't have her own program, she was doing stuff with me before she launched to do her own show. And that's how she broke in. She broke in with me. And we were doing stuff together. And then I encouraged her to do her own thing. And then she took a step of faith and she stepped out. And it's been amazing these years to just see her do show after show after show. And again, for that, we thank the Lord. We praise the Lord for that. And we never know when we're going to go off the air because, we never know when the Antichrist is going to pull the plug on the internet. We never know when his minions are going to block those of us who do religious broadcasting. Because that's how we're classified under Block Talk Radio. On the platform, we're classified as religious broadcasting. Well, the devil hates religious broadcasting, and the Antichrist is going to outlaw religious. So we don't know. We could be on today, and then tomorrow, Block Talk Radio tells us that they're only carrying sports. We don't know. But as long as we can, as long as the Lord gives us strength, and as long as the door keeps the door open, the door of opportunity open, we'll be on the air. So I'm not making announcements today. We're going to do a special show today. And so again, 200 and listen, these are not 250 shows that I did. I come here, and I just push buttons. All these shows, the Marie went to the Lord, okay, Lord, what would you have me to present to the saints this week? And the Lord would direct her, and then she'll start pulling up the audio and going through one audio after another audio. And these have been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful broadcasts. So, again, we want to celebrate our sister today. And my dear sister, how are you doing today?
I'm busy, but I'm doing well. Thank you very much for the introduction.
Oh, no problem, no problem. What are you doing? What are you doing that you're busy?
I'm working. Are you kidding?
Okay.
Taking school notes, looking at the show, going over the
right,
show.
Right.
Doing the house, doing the dogs, being
right,
a wife,
sure.
being a mother.
That's it. That's it. That's
That'll keep you busy.
That'll keep you busy.
I thank the Lord. Who I want to thank, I forgot it was the 250, and you started to talk about it, and I thought, oh, that's right. That's this week. I just want to thank the Lord for everything he's done here for us. It's got nothing to do with me. This is all the Lord, and I'm so thankful. I take no credit for anything. You know, this is, you know, he opened the door. We just went with it. We went with the lead
right.
of the Holy Spirit. So
right,
that's
right.
who I'm thanking in this. And I'm just grateful to be here and to work with you. You know, I knew what I was getting into when I signed up. So, you know, that was a little scary. And I knew, you know, I knew that you were honest. I mean, I knew it was a perfect platform for what I believe. And, you know, and you're an honest, you're truthful, you're fantastic to work with, you have a great sense of humor. So I have been grateful all these years to sit under your teaching also. So I thank you for that, for allowing me, you know, to do what the Lord had me do. And I'm grateful that you trusted the Lord, you know, when this all started. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. And you're being modest because, look, when we, at the Bible school, when we used to have chapel,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, students in my Art of Preaching class would, you know, they had just taken Art of Preaching 1, which was a 15-week course on how to develop sermons, how to put sermons together. Then they were candidates for chapel. They were candidates to do their sermonette before the other students. And you know, the students would get up and do their 15-minute sermonette presentation. And then afterwards I would talk to them, and they say, oh, that wasn't me. That was the Holy Ghost. I said, no, listen. When you bomb, it's you. When you get up there and you sound stupid, that's you. But also when you get up there and you sound intelligent and you did your homework, that's also you. Now, of course, you know, the Holy Spirit will bless our efforts. But, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't do these shows. These shows didn't come out of thin air, these 250 shows. All the things that were talked about for all 250 shows. You know, mm-hmm. that didn't, you know, the Tooth Fairy didn't give us that. And Little Elves didn't leave us, you know, show topics. Somebody did that. And that somebody wasn't me. Like I said, I just show up. I get the songs. I get the audios. And then you tell me to push the buttons, and I push the buttons. So that's you. And that's why today we're taking a little bit of time. Brother Darryl, Brother Omaha, they can wait a little bit. And we just want to take a little bit of time to just, you know, celebrate your efforts, celebrate your work. Because, you know, I remember you would send over 20 audios for one show. And, of course, they were little clips, you know, but they were important clips. Mm-hmm. Like the clip where
yes.
Ted Turner, you know, wants to wipe out half the population because there's too many people
yeah.
on planet Earth, right?
Yeah.
All those
right.
things that you dug up. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was God using you, but it was you. You know, it was, you know, God always needs a vessel. And, you know, like I
yeah.
said before, when somebody gets up there and you know, when Joel Osteen gets up there and says something stupid, you know, we take him to the woodshed. Now, we're not taking someone
mm-hmm.
else to the woodshed. We're taking Joel Osteen to the woodshed because he's responsible for
mm-hmm.
saying the asinine things that he says. So this has been some wonderful years. May the Lord continue to bless your mind because you are quite creative and you know, you're able to connect things and see things and way ahead. I mean, we've been doing shows, talking about shows a year in advance before the stuff actually happens. You know, and you run with it, right? I mean, the Lord showed you something.
Yeah.
And you run with it.
Yeah, the Lord showed me. And you trusted that, though, bro. I mean, honestly, I'd say, you know, I really feel like we really need to do this. This is what I think the Lord is showing us we need to do. And you said, you've always told me, well, if the Lord's showing you, then we need to do it. You know, you do what the
right.
Lord tells you to do. And that's how, you know, you never said, no, I don't think so. Not once. In all these years, did you ever stop a show and say, look, no, we're not going to do that? That I can remember, not once. You just
right.
let the Lord, you know, have his way, and you trusted too. I mean, you know, it's all about trusting the Lord, I think, and he will use imperfect vessels. And that's what he does use to, you know, bring forth truth that, you know, so, in my case, imperfect vessels.
Well, that's,
but he does,
you know. That's the Pentecostal side in me. The Pentecostal mm-hmm. side says, okay, the Holy Spirit is going to help this person. You leave them alone because the Holy Spirit is working with them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
there's no better teacher. There's no better guide. There's no better instructor, revealer of truth
mm-hmm.
than the Holy Spirit. And my Baptist brothers and my Reformed brothers, and they talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying they're knocking the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying they're
right.
anti-Holy Spirit. But
yeah.
they talk up the Holy Spirit, and then but at the same time, the Holy Spirit can't use this one. Or the Holy Spirit can't, you know, because of X, Y, Z. You know, if she's a woman,
mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit. Don't go there. That's not the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church where the Spirit of God moved on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And in a church service, everybody got an opportunity to come up and testify or read a psalm or sing a song. And make a contribution to the church service. And that was male, female. That was older
okay.
adults, young people. Even children would come up. They would give them, if the child had something to say, you know, testify. So when, you know, when we believe God's word, and in the book of Acts, the second chapter, it's Peter preaching. He says, and the prophecy of Joel says that God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men
mm-hmm.
and your young daughters shall prophesy. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, again, I would ask these preachers, okay, the young men are talking, but what has happened to the young ladies? Right? Why are we excluding
right.
the young ladies? And now
mm-hmm.
listen, there's some young men that shouldn't talk at all. And there's some young ladies who shouldn't talk at all. But if the
mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit is working with them and on them and through them, then let them talk. And so, you know, there are a lot of ministries out there that look at us and say, oh, no. We're not listening to them because the lead is a woman. And
mm-hmm.
and so shame on them for that, one. And number two, they missed out on 250 wonderful broadcasts.
Well, thank you.
Because I've been here for every one of them. I've been here for all 250
right.
broadcasts. And I can tell you, I've been blessed. I've learned a lot.
Right.
I've been exposed to things I've never heard of before, you know, things that are going on in
mm-hmm.
the world right now. Like, you know, critical race theory. You were talking about this a year
mm-hmm.
ago. I said, what in the heck is critical race theory? Well, now I'm kind of like a little expert, right? I mean, I mean, I can defend myself a little bit here, having not known anything. The same thing with the Great Reset. What did I know about the Great Reset? I knew nothing about the. I didn't even know that was a term. Right?
Yeah.
And a year later,
yep.
I think I can defend myself when it comes to the Great Reset. I think I can, you know, I can kind of guide people and explain to them a little bit about what it is. So
you could probably debate against it at this point.
Well, listen, we owe that. Yeah, we owe that to you. We owe that to you. And, you know, so do you remember what you felt like when I first asked you to if you could join the team, which was just me and the Holy Ghost? Because that's
right.
You were the first person that ever came on with me,
right?
And even on the platform, you were the first. Do you remember anything?
I know the day. Yes, I remember
okay.
the day. I you know, I know you called me. And we had spoke quite a bit over the internet, you know, and then you
right.
called me and you asked me, and it's like in my heart I knew that I should, but I was frightened. I said, geez, I don't know if I want to, you know, I kept making all these excuses for a while why I
right.
shouldn't, and I couldn't come up with anything solid of why I shouldn't do it, you know, and I
right.
had listened to you from the beginning, your shows from the beginning, so I knew you as a person, and I thought, boy, if you're going to be yoked with anyone, that is the perfect person, because he, you know, I knew you make people feel comfortable, you walk them through everything, and every little fear that I had, I knew that you would walk through that, you know, with me.
Right.
And, yeah, I was nervous because, I mean, who wants to get on the show with a wolf tracker? I mean, you know, I knew your reputation for knocking people out, right? You know, and but I'm like that inside myself. So,
right.
You know, the look, you know, deception is deception. And I knew that, and I thought, well, I'll do well. I was nervous, and at first I said, well, I kind of gave you all those excuses, but I really couldn't come up with one, you know, that would stick, because it's just like the Lord said, no, it's a, you know, open the door. And I'm telling
right.
you, I learned a lot. I learned so much from you. It's incredible. It's incredible what I've learned from you. And it was just a matter of organizing. You know, you kept me organized all the way through it because that's what you do. You know, you walk me along. Despite being the wolf tracker, let me tell you, our brother here, and I love him to pieces, is one of the nicest people you'd ever want to know as a friend too, not only as a
right.
brother, but as a friend. And he has walked me through in these years, tons and tons and tons of that have come down the pipe and happened. And he's walked me through them all. And so I'm grateful for that, but that's what I felt. You know, I was just hesitant because of being nervous, you know, who wants to get out into the public? Now I was doing a Bible study. I was involved in a Bible study at the time where we had, you know, quite a few people. And, you know, I was not nervous about contending. I've worked with Mark for a few years. I was not nervous about contending. The
right.
thing that was made me nervous, I think, was just getting out there and being concerned about Jesus, is this going to sound right? You know, am I going to do this right? Or, you know, just that, you know, being out there in public that way on a forum like that, that was the thing that made me nervous. The actual deception, I wasn't nervous about doing it at all. You know, exposing
right,
stuff,
right.
not one bit was I nervous about going into any area that I felt that the Lord wanted us to go. So that's what I can say about that.
Amen. Do you remember?
If I answered your question.
Yeah, the other question that my wife wanted you me to ask you was how hard it is for you to work with me, but you just said it was easy peasy. So you see, honey, you see, I'm the best, and that's it. So,
I can tell you something. The best compliment in all these years that I ever received was from Mrs. Reformer, and she said to me, "You work so well with my husband. You work so well with him." That's the best compliment I could ever receive from anyone. That meant more to me than anything. Because she knows you. She knows you well. And she trusted that I would get on there and not be, you know, a jerk with you, you know, or, you know, do anything. She trusted, too. She trusted you with that, and she trusted me to go on there, and I'm thankful for that. That's the best compliment. So you can tell her that. Let her know her sister said that, because honestly, it is. And because I thought, wow, that's really a compliment coming from her, you know, for her to say that.
She always says that our interaction is just, you know, we just work off each other very well. We just, you know, and it's like having a conversation, basically, you know. People are basically listening to our conversation. It's not even a radio show. It's a conversation that we're having. I mean, that's the way she says it. It just sounds like two friends having a conversation, and everybody is in on it. Everybody's, you know, hearing in
listening on
the conversation. Right. So,
yeah. Another thing, too, is someone else had said that, you know, to me. I was told that by someone else who listens to the show. Said you two work so well. It's not the first time that I'd heard it. It meant a lot from her. And I was asked, you know, how come you just click? And I said, well, it is like a conversation. We're just talk to each other. And I said, I treat him like I do my own brother. My nephew, you know, I just talk to him the same way I would talk to my own natural brother. And so, you know, that, and it works well for me. I mean, I would say the same thing to my own brother. You know, so I said, I don't treat him any different than I would my natural brothers. So, and that's why it works too, because, you know, you are a brother. In Christ, and you are like you're like my brother in some way. So I do, you know, I treat you as such, and the fact that you're also a dear friend, you know, you have been there every time there's been a problem. You've been there, and you check up and you make sure everything's okay. I mean, you've been there through a lot of deaths in my family. And I couldn't think of anybody, you know, you walked me through things. You made me laugh in some really tough times. And I'm grateful for that. So, you know, both of you, and that includes your wife, because the missus has also been there, and I thank her for that. You know, what great friends. What great friends.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
So, okay. Let's look forward to many more years. Hope that the Antichrist will be kept at bay so we can keep doing this and warning the people of God to get their act together and get ready and strengthen themselves in their faith and not to stick their head in the sand like the ostrich, but to be aware of what's going on around them, to keep their eyes peeled. You know, to see that all this stuff that we're talking about, it may not be in their neighborhood this month, but it may rear its ugly head next month. And because like we always say, it's coming to a neighborhood near you. It may not be there today, but it's coming. It's coming. So
that's
congratulations yet again. And
thank you very much.
We We know that we have taken you away from your family, your children, your dogs, all this research that you do, all this stuff, and you know, so
hey,
it's been many, many.
My husband thinks it's great. My husband thinks it's a great thing to do, and he also is glad that I'm doing this with you. So that
Amen.
Means a lot to me too. So
Amen. Amen. So we've now we can give the brothers let them do their thing
we'll go back.
Now. So set this up for us.
Okay, so today we're going to continue with our audio by Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries, titled Black Lives Matter with a question mark. So I'm going to suggest, if you haven't listened to the previous shows, go back and do that, because that'll keep you, you know, keep you in, give you a complete picture of what the BLM movement is about,
right,
and you'll get up to speed with where we're at now. Now, using their own words, BLM stated that they were dissatisfied with outcomes. And there's a few things that they hope to achieve. They want to use counteracts of violence against, you know, violence. When a person's violent, they want to counteract. They want to eliminate white supremacy. Now, that's a good idea. Everybody would agree on that. But the category for that is just being white.
Right.
So it's a matter of just removing whiteness. They want to exalt one race over another. They hope to dismantle our legal system, and that's only to name a few. And I always ask, how does this help black lives? No black lives have benefited so far from this group, nor were
right.
they given any kind of support. You know, and another thing we found out last week was that this group is taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from corporations that they claim to be against, you know, and most of these corporations are owned by rich white men.
Correct.
So do you have any comments on what I've said so far before I continue? Anything?
Yeah. Like I said last week, Black Lives Matter is like a metastasized cancer, because they are basically doing what the Reverend Jesse Jackson was doing first. Then
you're right.
He was followed up by the Reverend Al Sharpton, but in their case, you know, see, Black Lives Matter is as a whole is a massive organization, whereas before, the face to the you never knew of the Rainbow Coalition. You just heard of the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and you never heard of the empowerment movement. The face of that was the Reverend Al Sharpton. So, but now Black Lives Matter is like a giant organization that really doesn't have a face to it. You can't pin it on an individual, but it's rather a metastasized movement. And they don't do anything for anybody. We just had a Hurricane Ida in Louisiana, and I'm sure now that the commercials are going to start rolling, religious organizations raising money for hurricane victims of Ida, and I'm pretty sure that they do give them a gallon of water, and they're probably going to give them a popsicle, you know, or something like that. But the bulk of the money is going to stay with these organizations that they can't wait for another hurricane, because it just fills up their financial coffers.
Yeah.
Right? So,
exactly.
Like you said, Black Lives Matter has done nothing for the people they claim to represent. Absolutely nothing.
Yep.
You know?
They've
done more for Martians than they have for black people.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because they haven't done anything for Martians. They haven't done a thing for Martians.
See, they're heading to the moon, these people.
Yeah. By the way.
Up there.
Yeah. By the way, you sent me a news article. Going back to the news, you sent me a news article that there was a charismatic pastor that died because he buried himself for 3 days in an attempt to recreate the resurrection of Christ. What a moron. That's like that other religious man who was trying to walk across the lake that was crocodile infested, and if his God was real God, he would protect him from the crocodiles. And boy, did that crocodile just swallow him and just had him for lunch.
He was gone in a flash.
In a flash.
All you saw was the top of his head. Don't you keep
that? That's it.
Oh, I'm visualizing this as you're talking about it.
Right.
And the people, I think the classic part of that one was the people were standing around saying, it didn't work.
Right, it didn't work. Next, who's next? Who wants to testify next? Who wants the mic next?
They're saying, oh, no. Oh,
nobody.
No, it didn't work.
No, nobody, nobody, nobody.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So, and there's another article here. Kat Kerr has egg on her face, or Kat Kerr. What is that?
Well, it appears that she rebuked and commanded and did all those things that you've done your classes on against this hurricane. So then there's a bunch of clips about people reporting how they're underwater, basically, because of the hurricane. Terrible stories. And Kat went up there and just she decreed and declared everything, that it was going to be nothing, that it was going to blow over like the hurricane before.
Right.
Remember, standing out there. Well, she just, you know, rebuked it, and then everybody's underwater. So it's like we always said, think the opposite with these people.
Right.
They tell you something.
Sure,
think the opposite.
Sure.
So they said, well, that puts egg on her face, you know. Well, I don't know. She's way out there.
Oh, boy, that lady gives women in ministry a bad name. I mean, she's just horrible. Horrible.
See, that's the hard part for a woman, because they got, you know, like Forum Group might do that. They might say, well, look here, here's a woman. You know, they're compared, or Paula White, there's a woman. And they have a tendency to compare that. But there are solid people. I've not had any problem with the Reform Group. I've helped the Reform Group in a lot of areas. So I have not had any flack from them. But I do see how these brothers can, say, point to an example like Paula or anyone else in ministry and just say, oh, well, see, there's an example of why women shouldn't be out there. Well, you know, in reality, what Kerr does is just bring shame on women, not only to the whole movement and not only to Christianity itself, you know, but also to women it does. And that's, you know, that's bad for us. We should, you know, disagree with that, because, you know, they can point to these people and say, look, this is how crazy it is when you let a woman speak. And that's not right, because a lot of women are reformed in their theology, you know, also. So same Holy Spirit in the women that are reformed, you know, that belief. So
all
that's
right.
It
I have
for
the
that.
I have the audio for Virgil and Omaha.
Okay, and I
want to
say something else. I'm going to say something else before we go on with this. You know, I just want to stress here the importance of Daryl and Virgil. They teach us the importance of good research and Bible knowledge, understanding the Bible. And the whole object is that you do not get caught up in these snares. And I want to report another news story here. There were issues. These these issues are so serious that in the church today, we have crazy things going on. Jeff Maples from Reformation Charlotte did an unofficial survey asking the question, how many voters in the research, if forced to choose between the woke church, such as David Platt or Matt Chandler, or a NAR church like Steve Burdick and Todd White, would do so? Who would choose, you know, I mean, would you choose between those or want to choose between those? 77% said they'd rather die than be forced to choose between those two. Think about that.
Right. Sure.
They would rather die than be forced to think about the NAR movement versus the woke movement. He wrote that while it's easy for most people to write off the heretics like Burdick and White, Platt was seen, and this is where we have the problem today, as an Orthodox pastor who was faithful to the Word of God. And in the recent years, what he did is he made a left turn, and it started to embrace the critical race theory and the social justice activism, you know, group.
Right.
He started to get involved in that. That created chaos in the congregation, you see. So the problem that we're dealing with today is when our brothers and sisters are in what we call Orthodox churches, or people who appear to be Orthodox, that will slowly gear you into these movements, you know. So you have to be very careful from right and almost right right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I just wanted to warn on that, because there was a survey on woke. They're both bad churches, but people are saying that they're willing to, they'd rather die than have to choose between these pastors and these movements and churches, you know. I mean, think about that. That's terrible.
Well,
that's terrible.
I mean, that's why a lot of people stay home, because they don't have a choice. When they look at when they look at what's available to them, they say, "I'd rather die."
Yeah.
I'm not going. I'm not going.
Well, you know, the NAR group is identity politics. They're the far right wingers. That's what they are. That's the NAR group. The social justice group is on the far left side. That's Marxism. So they're both extremely dangerous. And these two groups are dividing the church while they're secretly working together. You see? That's where the problem is. These groups actually work together all the time. You can connect them everywhere. But we have two different kinds of groups out there that are dangerous. And the one we're talking about now is the woke group. But the NAR group is just as bad, and we've talked about them before. So,
right.
Okay,
right.
In the audio here that we're doing with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries, we can go back to 5608 as Daryl was making a point during it. And I want him to get the point out. And you can stop it at 105:42, because I want to review with you the scriptures that he presented to us, if you can do that.
Okay. So I have it here at 56, and where do you want me to stop it?
At 105:42.
Okay.
Five minutes. What's the kind of justice in which the processes and outcomes are by definition, okay, by definition, grounded in partiality, bias, and discrimination, so that the outcomes are guaranteed for certain individuals and groups. You can go to their own website and see this in black and white. That is not justice. That's not justice. That is the distortion and the perversion of justice, okay? Now, I want to reiterate again, I want to ask our listeners again to consider what I just said. Consider what I just said in light of what Scripture teaches us about how incredibly seriously God takes the sin of partiality. because partiality is the cornerstone upon which the entire Black Lives Matter organization and worldview is built, okay? It's why it exists. It exists on the fundamental cornerstone that they embrace partiality. I want to give our listeners a heads up. I have 17 scripture verses that I want to cite to establish how God views the sin of partiality, how God views justice, okay? Scripture number one, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's, okay? You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's. That's Deuteronomy 1:17. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. You shall not distort justice. You shall not be partial, and you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall pursue, that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 11. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. That means all outcomes concern God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Exodus 23, verses 1 through 3. You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute. Let me pause right here. I love how God's a concept of justice is so righteous. It is so pure that it is a sin even to be partial to a poor man in a dispute. Okay? Even to the poor, if you're partial to the poor, that's a sin. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. A truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is treacherous. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence, it says, on the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. On the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of only one witness. Numbers chapter 35, verse 30. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death at the evidence of witnesses. But no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18. Like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. Proverbs 12, verse 17. He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness speaks deceit. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Proverbs 14, verse 5, a trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness utters lies. Proverbs 19, verse 28, a rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. Now if a person sins after he hears a public adjuration to testify when he is a witness. And this is a person who lies under oath. If a person sins after he hears a public adjuration to testify when he is a witness, whether he has seen or otherwise known, if he does not tell it, that is, if he does not tell the truth about what he has seen or otherwise known, then he will bear his guilt. And then lastly, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. Leviticus 19, 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. That was Leviticus 19, 15. Now, I cited those 17 verses, being completely aware, as I said earlier, that Black Lives Matter is in no way, they in no way resemble an ecclesiastical body. Nevertheless, the principles that are intrinsic to those verses help us to see what true cosmic justice, if you will, looks like in a society. And it is on that note that I want to interject these words by John Calvin from his classic work, his Institutes of the Christian Religion. Calvin said this, quote, "In all laws, we must bear these two things in mind, what the law prescribes and how equitable it is. For it is on equity that the law's prescription rests. Since equity is natural, it is inevitably the same for all peoples. Thus, all the laws on earth, whatever their particular concern, should be about equity. As for the laws, regulations, or prescriptions, because they are conditioned by circumstances on which they partly depend, there is no reason why they should not be different, provided they are all directed to the goal of equity. Now, as God's law, which we call moral, essentially bears witness to the natural law and to conscience which our Lord has imprinted on the hearts of all men," that's Romans 1:19, "there is no doubt," Calvin says, "that the equity of which we now speak is wholly revealed in natural law." Now listen how Calvin closes this out. Listen closely to this, listeners. "That is why," Calvin says, "equity, not outcomes, not equality, equity must be the goal." This, if I could pause here real quick, Omar, this is going back to that quote you read from Obama's Attorney General.
Eric Holder.
This point that Calvin is making is why Eric Holder was absolutely right in just saying what he said. Calvin said that is why equity must be the goal, the rule, and the finality of all laws. Unquote. That was John Calvin from his institute in the chapter on civil government. Calvin said that equity, not outcome, must be the goal, the rule, and finality of all laws. And by equity, Calvin is implying judgment without partiality of any kind. You see, that perspective of justice is not unique to Calvin, okay? That perspective is not unique to John Calvin. The first century Roman philosopher Lucius Annaeus Seneca said this in Latin. He said, "Auditor et altera pars," which translated to English means, "the other side shall be heard as well."
Okay, so I stopped it at the mark.
All right. One of the things I think that is important in this is that we go through these scriptures, bro. And I would like you to, I put them in order, the scriptures he gave, and I would like you to compare that as to BLM. I'll read the scripture, and I'm going to read off the NIV to spare the people the B and thous.
Okay.
So, if we looked at Exodus, I put him in order of what he said. It says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." False in the Strong's we know as deception, disappointment, falsehood. That would ruin one's reputation. How would that pertain to BLM?
Very easy.
From what you've learned so far.
It's easy because BLM states that all white people are evil. So you're making a blanket statement. It's like, you know, me saying all black people eat watermelon. That's not the case.
Right.
I mean, that's so stupid for someone to, you know, say, you know, they all eat watermelon. I mean, it's not even stupid. It's insulting.
Right.
Right? So you're judging
right.
people based on the actions of a few.
Mm-hmm. That's so, right. That's a good answer. Yes.
Yeah. So
you're ruining
so
a reputation. Yeah.
Yeah. You're ruining, that's what you're doing. It's like, look, right now in Afghanistan, right? There were
mm-hmm.
some Afghanistans who used themselves as suicide bombers. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was one the other day who blew himself up and killed 13 of our servicemen. Now, at the same time, there were American soldiers running into Afghanistan to save Afghanistans who helped them in the war on terror. So, yeah, there are some
right.
Afghanistans that you need to be leery of because they are if you let them, they're a suicide bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others, there were many, many, many others who wanted freedom, who wanted justice, right? Who wanted what all people want, which is to live in peace.
Yeah.
So to say
mm-hmm.
all of them are bad
mm-hmm.
is wrong.
So BLM does not hold up to scripture here, for sure.
Right, and look, as our brother said, BLM is not a church. Therefore, they can care less about the Word of God. But
right.
BLM, although BLM is not the church, they fall under cosmic justice, which is universal justice. This is how God would have us to all the sons of Adam and Eve to treat each other.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Even though they don't fall underneath the church, they're in the church. And so it's important that the church understand these scriptures because
right.
what
well,
they're
the,
being told
yeah.
is the opposite.
Right, right. The church has stupidly let the Marxist movement in.
Yes.
And so when you compare the Marxist ideology to scripture, you have to say we have to go with God. We can't go with Karl Marx. We have to go with God.
Correct.
So bye.
Correct.
But you see, what is the church doing? The church is putting aside God by
mm-hmm.
ignoring these scriptures and upholding Marxism.
Right. So now they know. I mean, now you
correct.
Know. When we read these, you have the truth from the Word of God. About, you know, what's going on. Okay, then
right.
we have Exodus 23, 1, 2 through 3. Do not spread, number one, do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. Explain verse 1 as it relates to BLM.
Yeah, again.
Can you be
again, BLM has been supporting some people or claiming to support certain people that have done evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
not all
the blacks that have been gunned down were doing evil.
That's
there have
right.
been a few. There have been a few that did not behave themselves or did not do as the police asked them to do. And you and I know, listen. When you are stopped by the police and they tell you turn off the car, just turn off the car.
Yeah.
Don't say,
good
why
idea.
Do I have to, you know, no. When the police says,
yeah.
when a policeman pulls me over and he walks up to my car and I lower my window, I say, good afternoon, officer. Yes. And he says to me, please shut off your car. Shut off your engine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't rev my engine up because now he's going to pull his weapon out.
Right.
Right. So there are some people, unfortunately, that did not heed the police and
mm-hmm.
Either had something to hide or became afraid or whatever, and there were some awful consequences. And so BLM will defend them even if they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, you know, you can't give a thumbs up to wrong things. You,
no.
It's like Eric Holder said. Now, Eric Holder, we know Eric Holder and Obama are Marxist. We know they are.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no denying that those two guys are Marxist. There's
mm-hmm.
no denying that. However, even Eric Holder had to say, you know, there's no way we can convict, you know, Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
We studied the case, and we couldn't find him guilty of violating civil rights.
Right.
Right? So.
Yep.
Because remember, Eric Holder was going after George Zimmerman for civil rights violation, not murder. That's a
yeah.
whole different. That's a whole different case.
Right.
This
fell under a different category.
Right.
Yep.
Right. This is civil. This is to see if a white man was targeting a black man. That's a civil rights violation, and they could not.
Right.
They could not establish that fact. They couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, Eric Holder said, you know, as far as this charge is concerned, not guilty. We in fact,
right.
we can't even take him to trial. You know, it's unsubstantiated.
Mm-hmm.
We have no evidence. So Black Lives
right.
Matter will, you know, they will stand with you even though you may have been the cause of the problem. They'll still
mm-hmm.
stand with you. And the Bible
right.
says you can't do that. You cannot take the side of an evildoer.
Right.
You can't.
And that's the very next scripture. It says, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd.
Right.
Wow.
Or another example of that would be when it gets dark and the crowd
mm-hmm.
Just wants to blow up the neighborhood and burn it down and all that. And before
yes.
they burn it down, they break the windows and they start looting. They start taking this and they start taking that. You joined the
yep.
crowd.
Right.
And we're told not to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
You don't want to join a crowd in wrongdoing. Okay, and verse 3, and do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. Favoritism
right.
is to swell up, to favor, to honor, to be high, or proud, according to Strong's.
Right.
So that's amazing, because a lot of this is about, well, they're poor. They need it. You know, do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
A lot of
right.
the excuse for a lot of violence has been because they're, you know, poor.
Correct.
And I was shocked. I mean, you know, to go back to these scriptures, some of these, and look at them, I mean, they lay out God's law. This is what God has decided. And it really brings you, you know, back to the reality of the difference in what we believe as people and what we should be following here. You know, it brings it back to our attention. Our focus is put back on the way God views things. So,
right.
okay,
right.
Leviticus 5:1. If anyone sins because they do not speak up when they hear a public charge to testify regarding something they have seen or learned about, they will be held responsible. Now, I think Virgil's going to get into a few things about this, about
okay.
keeping silent. But still, what's your thought? I mean, if anyone sins because they do not speak up when they hear a public charge to testify regarding something they've seen or learned about, they'll be held responsible. So if you see an injustice and you don't say anything about it, or you see something going on, if there's a public charge or, you know, charges against something, they'll be held responsible for not speaking up. Is that correct? Am I correct in that? Or
that? Well, in America, you can choose to be a witness, right? In this democracy.
Yeah. Right.
You can choose. I saw something. I'm going to report it. Other times, mm-hmm. you know, the policeman will knock on your door. Listen, there was a shooting out here in the street. Did you see anything? And most people, in fear of retaliation, will say, no, I didn't see it. I was watching TV. I didn't see a thing. Now,
Or they take the Fifth. They take
right,
the Fifth Amendment on that.
Right, right. So in America, people do that. But
mm-hmm.
in Israel, when Moses gave this law, the highest
mm-hmm.
authority was God. And so
right.
now if you saw something and you turned a blind eye because you didn't want to get involved, God was going to get you. See, God
mm-hmm.
God was going to make sure now that, you know, you who did not fulfill your role, he's going to punish you for that. So in America, people,
doesn't that
you know,
apply today? I mean,
well,
if you really want to think, I mean, it doesn't apply legally today because it's in Leviticus, okay? We understand that. But all these concepts, all these principles are incorporated in the New Testament in one way
right.
or another. The
right.
The idea is there.
Right. It's there, and you would testify, and I would testify because God reigns in our hearts. But there
exactly.
are other people. There are other people who say, "I don't want to get involved. It's really none of my business.
Right.
I don't want to go to court. I don't want to. I don't want to sit in as a witness. I don't want to raise my hand. I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to do it." Here's the other thing. If you notice, when let's say let's just say that they bring you up as a witness. The opposing side, and this is why many people don't want to be a witness. Here's another reason why American justice has been perverted. So let's just say, here you are, you're outside, you're watering your plants, and you see your neighbor shoot his wife, right? I mean, you saw
mm-hmm.
it. You just saw him do it. Okay, so now you're willing to testify. You get up there, and they'll say this. Back in 1979, we found out that you were fired for XYZ. Now wait a minute. It's 2021. Why are you bringing up 1979? Because what they try to do is they try to dig up stuff to mar your character. So this way
yes.
your witness is not viable. And that's
right.
why a lot of people don't want to tell. They said, listen, they're going to dig up stuff on me. They're going to say I was this, that, and the other. And I don't want people to know
yep.
that today. I don't want people to know my past.
Right. Yeah.
So on both
that's
ends,
true.
It's wicked. On both ends, it's wicked. But,
wicked.
You know, in Israel,
yes.
under Moses and under Joshua, you did this stuff. And remember, we're talking about God-fearing people. The Bible was written as a manual for God-fearing people. We
mm-hmm.
fear God. You fear God. I fear God. We're going to do the right thing. But Black
right.
Lives Matter, they fear no one. They're wicked.
Right.
And so that's why they would hear that and they would discard it.
I think that in the scriptures that he used, the reason I wanted to go back to these and talk about them was that they're all important, that the people understand what the right thing is in the Word of God. You know,
right.
this is how God feels about it.
Right.
This
right.
is
and that's
how he
and that's
feels
how our,
about it.
Yeah, and that's the way originally, that's how originally our, this is why the Ten Commandments were in every courthouse in America, originally.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
the nation
point.
Had Judeo-Christian values. Now
mm-hmm.
it has satanic antichrist values.
Right.
So
we're taking them back
know,
to the Christian. We're taking them back to the biblical values.
Right. Yeah. That, there you go. That's
yeah.
that's it. That's
yeah.
it. But Black Lives Matter, you know, they can care less. They can,
mm-hmm.
It's like Look, it's like Al Sharpton. There was Al Sharpton became famous when a young black girl called Tawana Brawley claimed that she was raped.
Yep. Yep.
Right, she claimed she was. Now, Al Sharpton found out she wasn't raped, and her two lawyers found out that she wasn't raped. But she's raped. So, and the man who was one of the men that was accused of raping her had his life destroyed. He was a white man, and he was involved in the legal system. His life is destroyed. Now, what happened to the two lawyers, to the two black lawyers that were representing Tawana Brawley? They were both disbarred.
Yep.
Because they knew that her story was made up, and yet they persisted in destroying this man's life.
So you see,
she was wrong. Listen, not only was she wrong, but she was also poor. The white guy was rich and was right.
Yeah.
See, and in the text that was just read, don't favor the poor. Justice has to be blind. Forget about if they're educated or not. Forget about whether they have money or not. Forget about their skin color. Just take the case on its value. Right? The two black lawyers got disbarred, and Al Sharpton got off scot-free.
Right.
And the reason why he got scot off free, because he's an illiterate bum who has no degrees, who has no licenses, right? So what could they do to a bum who has no license and no degree and no nothing? They can't do anything to him. Nothing.
Can't get blood out of a stone.
Right. But the other two attorneys, they were fools, and they were smart, but at the same time they were fools, and they destroyed this man's life, and that prosecutor never got his life back, never got his position back, right? But because he was white, they wanted to go. See, this thing, this Black Lives Matter thing goes way back. It goes way back.
Yes,
way
it
back.
Does. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The
church was discerning enough not to buy it years ago. You see, the world is joined in on this too. So people were discerning enough to see certain things for what they were. I mean, and most people would say when there was an injustice, most good people, as good as you can be, even the unsaved, just moral people, let's say, they would have said, that's an injustice. If something happened, they would stand with a person who's a victim. But now you see the tide has turned. This is not only in the world. We didn't have to deal with that much in the church, but now it's totally infiltrated the churches. So now we got to deal with it. I would have never thought of dealing with this years ago because it wasn't into the church like it is now. It was in the church, but not to the point it is now.
Well, as the Bible says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yep.
30, 40 years ago, it was just Al Sharpton and a few others playing this little racket. And only in this little racket was going on in New York City. But now it spread from New York City to New York State. It has spread to all the other states. It's around the country. Why? Because it always starts off small, but then it grows.
Right.
Especially if you can make money from it.
Yeah.
Why is it that there's so many churches? Why? Do all these people have a calling? No, but most of these people want to hustle. It's easy money. This is how these wolves think. This is how they think. They say, let these suckers go to work. Let them go to their two jobs, and I'll show up Sunday to the one day that I work, and I'm going to fleece them clean.
Yeah. That's sad,
right?
But that's true. That's true.
Listen, I'm giving people an insight into the mind of a wolf.
Yep.
Let these fools go to work 6 days a week. Let them go to their two jobs. And then on Sunday morning, I'm going to show up like a pretty boy, and I'm going to hit them right between the eyes with a 2x4 called the tithing text. And by the end of the day, I'm going to be far richer than them. And I only came into work for an hour.
Yeah.
That's the racket.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, Leviticus 19:15. And these conversations we're having are important, because these are the things you're going to deal with every day out here. So the conversation, the audio is important, but the conversation is also, because we're going, you know, this is what God says. That's why we need to break this down and talk about it. Okay, Leviticus 19:15. Do not pervert justice or show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Okay,
right.
I have a question. Who's our neighbor here?
Well, my neighbor is my fellow citizen. That's my neighbor.
Right.
That's, you know, so whether it's the guy down the block or the guy in this county who has been, you know, arrested for, you know, look at him. A rich man, someone went into a rich man's house, robbed the rich man, and killed his wife and killed the rich man. And here's this poor sucker. He didn't have a job. He was struggling. He couldn't pay his mortgage. So now he gets the rap. All right. How do I look at that? Okay, I can't favor the rich man. I can't favor the poor man. I got to look at the evidence. I got to treat my neighbor fairly.
Well, I need to pray about that one. I have a neighbor who's got some kind of hyper condition that causes her to keep ruining my yard while trying to do hers.
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's look at Numbers 35:30. Okay. Anyone who kills a person is to be put to death as a murderer only on the testimony of witnesses, but no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness, bro.
Right. And back then, it was an eyewitness.
Yeah.
Right? An eyewitness.
Yep.
Because let's say, for example, there are two neighbors, and one neighbor hates the other neighbor, right? One hates the other. And the police come knocking on the door and say, listen, there was a shooting here yesterday. Somebody was shot. And you hate that neighbor. I know who it was. It was that guy over there. You see that guy pushing that lawnmower? He's the one who shot him. So if the police arrest you and convict you on the testimony of someone who hates you, you see, everybody would be going to the electric chair. But you need eyewitnesses. You need more than one eyewitness in order for the police to arrest you and charge you and all that.
Right.
Now, of course, today with DNA and all that, you know, many serial killers commit crimes outside of the purview of witnesses. Right? Mm-hmm. Many serial killers, they'll drag somebody to the woods or, you know, they'll kill them in a building. Nobody sees the killing going on. But the DNA or the, you know, the materials used or the blood spilled, that becomes a witness. Moses is not referring to that, because that technology had not been developed in Moses' day.
Correct.
So this is purely based on eyewitness testimony.
Right.
And
but
that's why the Bible says
in it.
Yeah.
That's
the Bible
the
says you cannot bear false witness. You cannot bear false witness.
Okay, Deuteronomy 1:17. Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike. Now, this is a good one. Do not be afraid of anyone, for judgment belongs to God. I love this verse. Bring me any case too hard for you, and I will hear it. Isn't that great?
Right.
This is God saying that. Listen,
right,
if you've got a case, bring it to him. If it's too hard for you to figure out or you're not sure what to do, you bring the case to him.
Right. See,
that's
what happened to Joshua. That's what happened to Joshua and the children of Israel when Achan stole the bars of gold and he stole the Babylonian garment. He did it with them. There were no witnesses who saw him doing the stealing. So then Joshua is scratching his head and saying, what do I do now? And God says, okay, bring all the tribes to me. And all the tribes started to come, and
they started
to cast lots, and God started to eliminate tribes. And so then from the tribes, it went down to God narrowed it down from 12 tribes to one tribe, and then from one tribe to one clan, then from one clan to one family.
Mm-hmm.
And voila, you have a hard case. There's the sinner before you, Achan. And he was stoned with his wife and his kids and everybody. The whole family was stoned.
Yes.
Right? So
that's a great connection you just made.
Yeah. Very difficult cases, we bring them to God, and God will enlighten and show who the culprit is.
Right.
It's just like, it's just like when Miriam and Aaron were falsely accusing Moses, and then the leprosy came upon God put the leprosy on Miriam because she was the instigator.
Yes.
You see? It wasn't Aaron. Out of the two, and so God marked her to show Moses, okay, she's the one who started the beef.
Yeah. And you know something? I was listening to a good sermon last night. And I was listening to it, and one of the things I was reminded of, and, you know, years ago, and one of the things that was said was that, you know, when you're wronged on something, one of the things you can do is you need to feel sorry for that person because they're heaping coals on their own head by what they're doing to you. And God handles that. He's the one that deals with that. And it was a really, really a great sermon. And he the pastor talked about how God deals with things. So we're not taking, problems in our own hands. And how he always takes care of you. He's all about justice, but it's his justice.
Right.
It's about his justice. So
absolutely.
Okay.
Always leave it in God's hands.
Yes. I mean, you don't feel like it at times. You want to get angry. But years ago, I remembered that, and it really, it was so comforting just to say, well, I really feel sorry for that person. They're in trouble, you know. For something they've done, I really feel bad about that. And you get away from that when you're constantly, battling wolves. Sometimes you forget that. And so it brought me back to where, I needed that, to remember that myself. Okay, Deuteronomy 16:19, do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the innocent. Roll.
Yeah.
That's your money pastors.
money will contaminate you.
Yep.
See?
Yep.
Again,
you can't
money,
be partial
right.
with
you,
people.
See, money, money will buy your testimony. Look, it's like when O.J. Simpson was being tried and he had all those expert witnesses.
Right.
They were his expert witnesses. Why? Because he was paying them. Look at all
the
doctors that he, right? So that's kind of like perverting justice because you have hired people that are going to tell your story. See, and that's why the jury has to be wise and has to say, okay, O.J. Simpson has all these people he's bringing up. They're on his payroll because they're not here for free. expert witnesses are not there for free. You hired them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to take the, oh, yeah, they're going to sing his song. He's paying them. And that's
right.
Why you have to discern what's really going on in the courtroom. And people can be bought. People, you know, there are a lot
of people.
If people
are bought,
though,
it blinds the eyes of the wise. You'll lose your wisdom. And it twists the words of the innocent. You're causing them to sin, too. Is that correct?
You're causing, again, a little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump.
That's right.
Right?
Wow.
It's
amazing.
If you allow that stuff, if you participate in that, then those who saw you all these years now are turned off.
Yep.
Right?
See, it's amazing that BLM has violated every one of these so far. Every one of these. It's a violation. I mean, this is how they feel. This is how contrary the movement is to Scripture.
Right.
You know? It's the opposite. Okay, Deuteronomy 16:20. Follow justice. Did you want to say something?
No.
Because I just cut you.
No.
Okay. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, your God is giving you. That's for the Hebrew children, correct?
Right.
Was that for the Jews?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
But there's a principle there. Okay. Deuteronomy 17:6. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a person is to be, but no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. That goes back to an eye for an eye, doesn't it? Is that kind of justice? Okay. Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of a crime or offense that they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, we see this in the New Testament, bro. See? That's
right.
A principle in the New Testament, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Correct?
Absolutely.
I don't want to be exegeting this.
No. You're correct. Yeah.
Okay. In Proverbs are self-explanatory. There's so much wisdom to me in the Proverbs. It says we're going on 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, we're going to verse 18, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, 19, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in a community. BLM has violated every one of those, I believe,
mm-hmm.
bro.
Right.
Do you?
Yeah. And promoting the riots and rallying the people to do mischief. To bear false witness. Yeah, all of that's BLM. All of that.
And the Lord there is Yahweh. That
mm-hmm.
is Yahweh. L-O-R-D. So, So if we just look at these things that we know, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, this is the same God that we serve. And if he says that he hates these things, and people are doing these things, we know automatically he hates them, correct? I mean, he still hates them. He still hates them. And you will see these things in the New Testament. All these things, all these truths are in the New Testament, correct? When
Absolutely.
You look at the people who
will
not make it into the kingdom of God, you can see these things in there.
Right.
They're all
right.
incorporated through the scriptures. So go
right.
ahead.
See, we
say
live in a generation. We live in a generation right now that calls good evil and evil good.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? You look at the court system now. The court system in many, many places has been perverted, right? In many
mm-hmm.
places, it's been perverted. Okay. So now, we may not get justice here. If something, you
right.
know, if something happens and I am hurt or one of my loved ones is hurt, I may not get justice here. I may not. I may, but most likely with the perverted court system,
correct.
You know, I may not.
You may not.
So, right. So now, instead of going to the Supreme Court and wasting my time there, and most likely they're going to reject my case and say your case is not important for us to review, then I have to wait for the Great White Throne Judgment. And their Yahweh, the judge of all judges, will settle
mm-hmm.
my case.
That's right.
That you know, so justice
delayed.
So
you feel sorry for the person.
Right, because right, justice delayed is not justice denied. It's just
correct.
I have to wait for that. I just have to wait for the Great White Throne Judgment.
Right.
You know, down here, you know, when those laws were given, it was so that Israel would be a light nation to the rest of the nations that were in darkness.
That's correct.
But, you know, and it's like the church today. The church is supposed to be a light, but... But the church is worse than the world. It's worse.
Yeah.
You talk about, look, look what James says in his first epistle. He says, you church people are wrong because here you have a poor man sitting in the front row, and as soon as the rich man comes, you kick the poor man to the back of the church and you put the rich man in the front seat.
That's partiality, yes.
Right, exactly. James says that's wrong. Then he goes on to say, "Okay, you bosses, you hire your workers, and then you rob them of their wages." He says, "God will get you. God will get you."
That's
you
a fleecer.
That's it. So you know, you may have to wait for God to bring justice, but the person who
it'll
did
come.
You wrong. Yeah, won't escape.
Yep.
Won't escape. And listen, I would love for the entire world to, you know, be or have Judeo-Christian values. But sadly, that's not the case. The
no,
carnal
because
mind
it's the fallen
is,
world.
Right. The carnal mind is enmity against God.
That's
it,
right.
He just won't submit to it. Won't mm-hmm. submit. So that's where we're
yep.
at.
Okay, an honest witness tells the truth, but and this is Proverbs 12:17. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. That's self-explanatory, but all liars will not enter the kingdom of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is the New Testament equivalent to let you know what happened. Okay, Proverbs 14:5, an honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies.
There you go.
Can't be a liar. There's lying again.
That's what
okay,
they did
Proverbs,
to Stephen, right? I mean, that's what they did to Stephen.
Yep.
The Bible says
that's right.
that they hired false witnesses to lie about Stephen. Stephen hadn't done anything that they claimed, and as a result, he was stoned. Those false witnesses have blood on them.
Yep. One of the best testimonies ever.
Right.
Stephen,
absolutely.
When he stood up. Proverbs 14:24, the wealth of the wise is their crown. But the folly of fools yields folly. That's silliness.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on that one?
Yeah, I mean, look at Joel Osteen.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that guy who was slamming babies against the wall. Do we need to be discerning experts to figure out that those guys are fools? And that's, you know, you know, the book I did on Jensen Franklin, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, on that book cover, he's got a Jughead crown, right? Doesn't he have a Jughead crown? There you go.
Exactly.
It's the perfect crown for you know, from the Archie comics, Jughead, the fool.
Yep. Okay, Proverbs 16:11. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in a bag are of his making. That's sovereignty there, I'll tell you.
Right.
But go ahead.
Yeah, God, look.
That's God's sovereignty.
You know, you go to the farmer's market, or you go here or there, and sometimes those scales are tipped towards the seller. You know,
yep.
there might be 2 or 3 ounces on that scale that's tipped.
Mm-hmm.
And when that seller on that Saturday in that farmer's market sells 100 things or has 100 customers and it's all on the scale, guess what happens? He made a killing.
Yep. That's right.
Because
so, the balances belongs to the Lord here, and all the weights the bag are of his making. So if people have money or people don't have money, that's up to the Lord of where they're at. He provides. Do you see what I'm saying? There's reasons behind it. It's in his hand, the whole thing, correct?
He's completely in charge. You know, who's rich and who's poor. It's like the Holy Spirit gives out this gift to this person, and he gives out another gift to another person and another gift to, you know.
Right.
Who's the one who, it's the Holy Spirit who makes us different. It's God who makes the rich and the poor.
Right.
Right? So
here
you are trying to kill yourself to get rich, and God never had that intention for you. But here you are wasting your time chasing something that is not to be yours.
See, having money can pervert. I've seen a lot of people that had a lot of money, and they can pervert, you know. I mean, there's a reason people don't have money. What would they do? They could get perverted. It could be a harm, you know. And I'm not saying that because we've all had struggles financially. I mean, we all started out somewhere. I mean, we've all had a rough start to begin with, you know, and where we went from there is things that the Lord has put in your life that you were able to achieve or, you know, what his desire, you know, that's all about him. Okay, Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Okay, that's sovereignty, but what else is it? A lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. That's talking about sovereignty.
Right, it's like the children of Israel, right? When Moses was to divide the land to the children of Israel, there were 12 tribes, and there was a big map, right? There was a huge map of the promised land. Okay, so what tribe gets what? Okay, so then lots were cast, and God determined what the tribe of Judah got and where. He determined what the tribe of Issachar got and where. You see, God determined, he parceled out all those pieces of land. It wasn't Moses and Joshua figuring out, okay, how many people does this tribe have, so let's give them. No, God parceled it out.
Yes,
God gave
true.
Them. You know, it's the same thing. Look, in Acts 1, there were 2 candidates for apostleship, but there was only 1 office. There
That's
was
right.
only 1 vacancy, right? Judas.
And God decided.
Had, right. And so they cast lots, and lots fell on Matthias.
Yep.
That's how it had. God is the one who determines.
That's his sovereignty. That's his business.
That's it. That's it. That's
okay,
it.
Proverbs 19:28, a corrupt witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. Now, who's mocking justice? Here, who does not like outcomes? BLM. That's
BLM,
their
right.
whole purpose. They're dissatisfied with outcomes. The
right.
scripture, I mean, that Daryl talked about here is perfect. They mock at justice. And
look
the mouth
happened.
Of the
I'm
wicked
sorry,
gulps down evil with it. So go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Look what happened the other day.
No, that's okay.
Okay, here you have landlords, right? Landlords. Now,
mm-hmm.
a landlord is a person who takes a risk and buys a building or builds
mm-hmm.
a house, right? And the reason why you want to be now notice the term landlord. You're the lord
yes.
of that piece of land. You're the lord
yep.
of that piece of land. Okay? So you have a family apartment, and you purchase that property. You go into HOC with the bank. You, of course, you put a down payment, but now the bank puts the house in your name, and you have to make monthly mortgage payments, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what did the government do to these landlords? The government said, well, we don't care that you have to pay the mortgage to the bank. We don't care. Because of COVID, people are out of work. So good luck in paying your mortgage, because you're not going to get your mortgage money from the poor stiffs that live in your building.
Right.
If they're not paying you the rent, tough luck. We're telling you can't collect rent for a year. Okay. So the landlords had to shell out the money if they had it. They had to pay the bank in order for the building not to go into foreclosure. Well, the landlords are saying, when is this thing going to end? We want it to end. Okay? So they took the case to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, listen, the federal government does not have the right to tell you that you got to pay the mortgage yourself, and these people living in your building don't pay rent. Because remember, are these people living in you? But as the landlord, by law, you're required to provide heat in the winter. And if they're not paying rent, that means that I too, as the landlord, I'm paying for the heat. The heat's not free.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know,
the taxes
well, okay.
and the water. And,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You got to pay everything, or else what happens? You lose the building. You lose your
mm-hmm.
credit. You lose. Right. Okay. So the Supreme Court said no. No, these people now have to start paying rent. So now what did Biden do? Biden didn't like the decision. He didn't like it. So now he's
yeah.
fighting. He's telling people, don't pay your rent. That's what Biden is telling. Now the Supreme Court said, hey, Mr. President, what you have done is illegal. These people
mm-hmm.
have to pay rent or how? Listen, if the building goes into foreclosure, these people are out in the street anyway. They're going to be out in the street. It's a good
yes.
thing that they have a landlord, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Because once the building goes into foreclosure, the bank says everybody out. That's what the banks do, everybody out, because we're taking possession of the building. So all right, so now, Biden didn't like the decision because Biden is a Marxist. That's what,
yeah.
he hates capitalism. So
correct.
He says, don't pay the rent for the next 6 months, because it'll probably take us that long before the Supreme Court addresses it again, and it'll give you 6 months'
mm-hmm.
time. So what is Biden doing? Biden is lawless.
Yeah.
He's promoting lawlessness. And who is he favoring?
Yep.
Who's he? The poor.
Yep.
Poor people who are getting money and don't want to pay their rent. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me the government's giving you money and you don't want to pay rent? So what are you doing with that money? Tell me, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because the number one thing you have to do for your family is provide a roof over their head. So are you playing
yes.
with the money? Are you vacationing with the money? Are you gambling with the money? Are you smoking weed? I don't know what they're doing, but they're not paying the landlord. And the landlords
right.
will lose their building. They'll lose it because they don't have that kind of money to be paying for people to be living for free. They don't. And now with the winter coming and now oil prices are high, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You think landlords are going to be, if Joe Biden says stay there for another 6 months, you mean to tell me stay here all winter and not pay rent? You think landlords are going to stand for that?
I don't think it's not going to come back to bite them either, because it will. Now, so Biden is the one mocking at justice in the scripture.
Correct.
And the wicked are gulping it up. You know?
Right.
They're saying,
absolutely,
hey, let's
this
just stay
wonderful
here. We got our feet under
this
the table.
Right.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. You see? And that's not fair to the landlord.
No.
It's not
no,
fair.
No, it's not. No.
See, and by law, when you get an apartment, you sign a rental agreement. A rental agreement
mm-hmm.
is a contract. Contracts have to be what? Honored. They have to be honored. And now you're violating. See, New York State and New York City, it's a wicked state. I don't know about Michigan, but in New York City, New York State,
mm-hmm.
boy, they have these rental agreements. You have to get them notarized. You got to get them signed. You got to get the notary public stamp on it. I mean, everything is so technical and so legal. And that favors the tenant. But then the land. Mm. See, when people say, why are there so many slumlords in New York? The reason why there's slumlords in New York is because the officials of New York State are Marxist. And they drive these homeowners to become slumlords. Why does the place become a slum? Well, because you've broken the financial back of the landlord. The landlord has no more money because you keep telling him these people can live here for free, so the place becomes a slum. He doesn't want to be a slumlord. He doesn't want to be, but you made him into one.
Yeah.
And
constant updates and pressures and new guidelines and things like that, they can't keep up with it. I mean, people wouldn't be able to, I would think.
Right.
Apartment owners.
No,
keep
you
up
can't.
With all the new rules they're imposing. Well, what
you
happens
can't.
At the end of the day is they will end up on the street homeless. And then the government will have, you know, something available, maybe, that you could stay at, but you're going to pay for it out of the little bit of money that they decide to give you at the end of the day. You'll have nothing and be happy. That's their motto.
Yeah. Right. You see, this is what they have to offer. There's subways in New York, and through the subway grates, there's steam comes up. So Mayor de Blasio will give you a cardboard box. You can be a homeless person, sleep there in the winter, because that's where you're headed. And that's why if you look at all of these Democratic governors, they do nothing about the homeless. Their states have the largest homeless populations. Why? Because they drove the landlords to give up the buildings.
Yes.
And so the people who are living rent-free now are really going to live rent-free on the street.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Well, all we have to do is look at history. What happened to the Jews? They were rounded up in buildings with fences around it, right? They were put in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we look in history, that's what they did. Rounded up the people, put them in an area, and that was it. They had fences. They couldn't go outside that area. I mean, think about it. How easy could that happen today?
Absolutely.
Very easy. Because there's not going to be any housing around it. They're going to take away those homes of those people, and you're forced to live where they tell you you're going to live. So that,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, if we look through history, we can see it. Okay, the last one is Proverbs 25:18, like a club or sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. So it's not a good thing.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
No. So all these things relate to Daryl showed us that all these things relate to the BLM movement. And that's why I wanted to put them out there. Because you now have all the scriptures against that movement and what they're doing. And there's tons more, trust me. But the reason is this is directly all these things, what they're against, totally what they're against.
Right.
You know?
See.
This points a finger at them because they do all these. They violate every one of these scriptures. Go ahead.
Right. See the thing with BLM is it's just the name. It's just the front. BLM really doesn't mean anything. And as we have learned, it's just Marxism. Right?
Yeah.
How can you
yoke with a Marxist?
Right.
We know
and
it's
Marxists,
a Marxist organization.
They like chaos, right? They cause chaos. They like chaos.
Yep.
They love all that stuff. And so and they want to bring down everything that is solid, everything that is good, everything that the world needs. Marxist, just wants to just tear it up.
If you like this, just go to Cuba. I mean,
right. Oh, Venezuela, right?
Yeah.
Go to one of those places.
I mean, because that's what you're looking. That's what we're looking at.
There are no Americans rushing to get into Cuba. There's not one American getting on a raft in Miami and trying to escape Miami to get to the promised land of Cuba. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody trying to get. You couldn't give me Venezuela if you offered it to me. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Right.
But they're all trying to get here. Why?
Yep.
Because of the laws, because of the protection, because this is a stable government. At least for now it is. But we can see it all crumbling before us. Look, they took out 120 people just in 2 weeks. They took out 120,000 people out of Afghanistan. They had American Airlines down there taking people out. 120,000 people in a week and a half for getting out of Afghanistan. Nobody's taking flights into Afghanistan. Who wants to go to Afghanistan? Do you want to go there for your vacation?
Right.
You want to take Chico to Afghanistan for your vacation?
Oh, me?
Might,
no.
Right. Chico might end up on the dish. Chico might end up on as dinner.
Yes. Don't say that. Yes, right. I know that.
So nobody wants to go. Are they printing up brochures, vacation brochures, to go to Afghanistan? Nobody's going there. Nobody wants to live there. Nobody.
That's right.
Chaos.
That's right.
Murder. Look at all the people that they're killing, even without a trial. They don't even give these people a trial. Let me see your passport. This is what you are. Boom, 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 boom. They shoot you. No trial.
That's right.
That's what we're headed to.
Well, you know, I think that this conversation, we probably won't get back to the audio looking at the time. So there's so much in this audio, and there's so much to consider today, with the scriptures too. I mean, the important thing was you have all this. There's tons of scriptures against what they're doing in the Old and New Testament. But the ones he gave, I thought it was important that we talk about those things so that, because we're dealing on a daily basis with this in every area. You can't go to church. You cannot watch television. You cannot do anything without this being in your face right now. You know?
Everywhere.
Anywhere.
It's everywhere. Everywhere. It's everywhere. Everywhere.
So I wanted the listeners to get an idea of, give them a little defense against it. And when he brought out those scriptures, and what better defense than the Word of God? I mean, that's your only defense against it, really.
Sure.
But I wanted to go through those, and I told you this, that I wanted to go through these scriptures to talk about that, to show you how God feels about this, because that should be the only thing that's important to us. Is how God views us, what does his word say about it, not anything else. And this is going to be, like I said, in your daily life. It's on the television, the newspaper, it's everywhere. It's in the schools, it's in the church. So I was trying to give an idea how, give the listeners an idea how to respond to it. And that's with scripture. And I would go back and copy those scriptures down because, you know, you're going to get this from every angle. And this is something, it's a Marxist. You can't yoke with Marxism. You cannot yoke with LGBTQ. You can't yoke with people for any cause that are Marxist and that other community. You can't and say that God's okay with that. You can't do
right.
it. And now the right. church is forcing you to do that. These churches are very clever now. I mean, like I told you, if you look at the SBC, it's one that I thought would have took a wild 11. And what we're seeing is they come in as solid ministers, and they may preach for 3-4 years, solid teaching. But then that one day they start to sway to the left, and they start
right.
bringing in things. And
right.
as you see on that survey, people don't want to give up. In a lot of cases, they don't want to give up these teachers because they knew them as being solid at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But so he's taken them, he got their trust, and he's taken them left, you know, now. So it's getting in that way, too. It's just not a good thing. It's
no,
not a
it's
good
not.
Thing. And you can't remain solid in the Lord. And a lot of those things that you're being asked to do, you can't enter the kingdom. And we can prove that through scripture if you're heavily involved in that. And that is scary. That's the scary
that's,
part of this.
That's scary, like you said. And we just need to pray that God will open
yes.
people's eyes up. And all lives
Amen.
Matter. We love everyone.
Yes.
We love
Amen.
All the sons of Adam and Eve. We love sinners.
Yep.
We hate the sin, but
yep.
we love sinners. And we're going to preach the gospel to
yeah.
them. And we know that there will be no peace whatsoever. And there will be no justice until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns. So
that's
great show as always. May you have another 250 broadcast. And may God continue to prosper your work. And you have the last word.
Thank you. Well, I would just thank you and thank the listeners for sticking with us all these years, staying there and, you know, being open to listen to these difficult subjects. Thank you so much. Thank you for your emails. Although I have some I haven't got to. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful day.
to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee.
My heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it.